Guru Nation, welcome to episode 941 of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. In this episode, I talk to my business partner, Chris Sauber, and we discuss the fourth virtue of sites, which is contracts and budgets. And we discuss what kind of person you want to look for if you're hiring a contract and budget person, or if you're considering becoming one, what kind of person you need to be. So check it out. I hope you find some value here. I would tell you to follow Chris, but he's not really active on social media. He does have a LinkedIn, but I'll let you find it yourself. More importantly than that, I'd rather you click the links in the show notes to my two sponsors. Number one is Inato. Speaking of contracts and budgets, Inato is completely free for sites. It helps you get studies for your site if you have therapeutic area expertise, and they do not get involved in any aspect of your contract and budget. So you're going to need somebody to take care of it for you. Anyways, that's where me or Chris come in with our company and our services, or you just need to hire someone internally, or you need to learn how to do it yourself. Check out Anato if you're looking to get studies and you have therapeutic area expertise for your PI. It's free, you got nothing to lose. Next on the list of sponsors is Creo. And speaking of contracts and budgets, Creo makes it easy to do things like invoice. We actually bring it up in this podcast quite a bit. Creo, I just programmed one of my studies today for the financial aspect because it has a CTMS. And I did a one-click invoicing on procedures that we have to bill, that we have to send invoices. And I spent probably a good 2 hours this afternoon sending invoices. And you're probably going to be in the same boat if you haven't been already. So check out Creo. You only pay for what you use. Of course, it has eSource and everything else. And check out both of these sponsors and enjoy the episode. Let me know what you think. Guru Nation, thank you so much for watching and listening. And this is the fourth of the four core virtues all sites want. I distilled it down, Chris. We take the complex, we make it simple.
It's
And
very
I've
nice of
done,
you.
you're welcome, Guru Nation. I've done one 30-minute video approximately for each of the virtues so far. Operations, biz dev, patient recruitment, specifically not just what those things are, but what kind of person you should look for who will thrive in that role. And the only
Makes
one I haven't
sense.
done is contract and budget, which is all you. And these four virtues apply to sites of all sizes, whether it's a one-man show or one-woman show, all the way up to these site networks that have all these departments centralized, where they have teams of people doing each of these functions, or whether you're a one or two-person site, puts on many hats to do these functions. The four virtues stay the same. And I could be wrong, but I've thought about this a lot. And so contracts and budgets, the one that's missing. And it's not so much how to negotiate budgets and contracts. It's what kind of person does a good job at that.
Well, the personality type.
Personality type. I mean, you get into some like job responsibilities of like what the job requires. But yeah, it starts with what kind of a person is needed. Like, what's the skills? What's the traits? What are the qualities of the person needed to work in this role, in this vertical?
So I already have a perspective, not necessarily on the person from the company status. So, because I would expect if you're a smaller site, right? Like you described, you're a two-person site. I think you at least have to be a two-person site, right? PI and a coordinator. There's not too many just PIs that do everything these days, I don't think.
Right.
So if you're a two-person site, you're either going to be handling the budgets and winging it, or you're going to be utilizing a service like ours, right? In which we
Right.
offer that.
And that's that
Right.
kind of
Right.
fractional employee, more or less.
So in that situation,
That includes too. So, like the rent a contract person, because they come in all different shapes and sizes and varieties. You're one of them. There's others that are, some are called the brokers. But those are like the fractional people too. And that qualifies as well, because whether you're insourcing them yourself, contracting them out, or subcontracting them out through fractional service from another vendor. What kind of traits do you look for, should you look for, if you were a site looking for help in this regard?
Well, I know what not to look for.
Let's go with that then, if it's easier, and then maybe we can articulate from both sides.
So I have a recent example of this. There's this study broker, and it's not the one you're probably thinking of, that I occasionally get email from and have for many years now. Hey, you do you want to participate on this study? And initially, the first few times I received their email, because they're far enough apart that I forget who they are. After I look into them, it's like, okay, this is a study broker, right? I don't want to work with them. But I was always curious exactly how they worked.
Okay.
And one of our clients recently got a study through them. And I actually re saw their contract yesterday. It's not as bad as the other one that you were thinking of probably initially. Their contract's not as bad as that, but it's still pretty bad. The thing is, though, is they handle the budget negotiation, right? So our clients asked me to review their budgets, right? Just not necessarily negotiate it, just make sure that it's a reasonable budget. So I said, sure.
Like an audit, basically.
Basically. And I told them, no, this budget's horrible for who the sponsor is. Their budgets are double of this, right? And he needless to say, dropped a few F-bombs. It's a new client, you know him personally. We've had
Okay.
lunch with him.
Okay. Yes, I do know who it
Yeah, so he was dropping
is.
F-bombs all over the place, and
As he would. I would expect
exactly.
nothing less. But how does this help someone watching or listening
I'm
right now?
getting there. I'm
What do
getting
they
there.
not look for?
So I'm getting there. I'm
Okay.
telling you the story.
Okay.
I'm giving a visual
All right.
picture
Thank
here.
you, man. Thank you. People are on the
So
edge of their seats.
he called them up and said, "Hey, I can't accept this budget." And they said, "Well, we negotiated it the best we could, right?" And their contract, which I read later yesterday or today, no, yesterday, does say they don't take any percentage of the budget, right? Up front. It's so I was like, well, they're doing a horrible job negotiating, right? Because this is like half what they should be getting.
So they get a flat fee or what?
Yeah, they get a flat fee from the site. Anyhow, a flat fee that's continuous though. It's not great. Brokers are not great to work with. They're going to take a lot of money from you, but that's neither here nor there. That's not subject to that we're discussing. So I talked to them. I got on the phone with the person that negotiated the budget, right? Because he's negotiating not. So it's really odd. So it goes sponsor. Then there was a CRO, which is Icon. I believe it was Icon or INC. I get the two confused all the
Well, you're
time.
allowed to name drop the. All right, fuck it.
Sponsor was Icon or INC, and because they're not really relevant to the story.
Okay.
And then this broker, which I'm not going to say,
Okay.
who's negotiating directly with the CRO, and they said, "Well, this is the best," because I was talking to them and our client wasn't there. And I said, "Well, this is a horrible budget, right? I've negotiated many budgets with this sponsor and it should be double this." And they said, "Well, how about if we just let you do it? Though the contract says they'll handle it, right?" And I said, "Okay, I'm happy to get on the phone with them and see if I can't get a better budget." And I wound up almost doubling it,
Wow.
okay, to what they could get. In my mind, in my opinion, didn't care what the budget was.
Right,
They
they have
just
no
want,
incentive.
right, there's no incentive there. They had no motive to get the best budget they could for the site, right? In fact, I think it was behooving them to get less of a budget for the site because it would incline the sponsor or the CRO to want to work with them if they could onboard sites for this lesser budget.
Well, our business model is the same, so how are we
No,
different
our
then?
business model is not the same.
Ah, okay.
We do not take a monthly fee for this particular budget, right, to study. We take a
Ah,
monthly fee for consulting
for overall,
for
so this is a
everything we
monthly
do.
fee for the study.
Yes.
Okay.
During its existence, they got a monthly fee.
Gotcha. So they don't care.
Right. They
They truly don't care.
what the budget
what the site
is.
accepts, as long
It,
as they
like I'm
accept
saying,
it.
with that dynamic, they probably would prefer to take a lesser budget for the site and get
Sure,
the
because they
site to
can get
agree.
more sponsors giving them
Exactly,
the
because
work.
they bring them sites that do not cost that much.
So, what's the lesson in this example from this story for
Well,
sites?
whoever it is you're working with needs to be motivated on your behalf. You need to be
Okay.
confident that who you're working with or who's working for you is motivated to do the best job they can for you.
Well, now you're just going to push sites to say, okay, that's simple, Chris.
Yeah.
Percentage of what the budget is.
Well, and there are certain negotiators that do that.
Yeah.
I've seen contracts that, so I guess, and I'm not really, I didn't mean to do a plug here, which I've already done one, but I'm going to do another. So Dan and I, we have a consulting service in which one of those things we offer is budget negotiation, and it's included in our consulting fee, in which there's many other things that you receive for it. And I do a lot of budgets, and I tell our clients, I promise you, it's very stressful for me to do budgets because I treat them all like they're my own. And I let you know, and I've told many clients, I would not accept this budget for my own site. So it's stressful. And I think if someone's not being stressed by their budget, they're not getting you the best budget they can. And I was going somewhere with that, but I don't remember now.
Well, sorry to interrupt, but
No, it had nothing to do with that. I was losing it
okay.
before that. So
Yeah,
go
I
on.
kind of sensed that. So if I'm a site and I don't know you from
Adam.
person, right? What you're saying is at least one of the first things you need to sense in the person you're hiring or outsourcing is trust, or is
Yes.
there something above
No,
that?
well, trust for sure,
Is
because
that number
and
one?
that reminds no, not necessarily, but that reminds me of where I was going. So, and clients that are smart about what they're doing do ask, hey, how do I trust you're getting me the best budget?
So that word comes up a lot.
It does, right?
Dan, you reading all this philosophy is going to pay off one day.
And I tell them, listen, there's no way to know for certain, but
Yeah.
I promise you, I will try to get you the best budget I can. And that's all I can give them, right? Because they don't know me.
Right.
So it does boil down to you have to trust somebody. And I mean, of course that's important, right? I mean, there's other qualities that are important too. You want somebody with some experience. You're not going to just hire somebody that's never done this and expect them to do a good
Let's save
job.
that one till the end. The
Okay.
not no experience, but potential.
Okay.
Right? Okay, so go on. So trust, ideally some experience, although we'll get into at the end. Maybe some traits of no experience, how to train them. What else?
Well, I mean, it's qualities that would just be useful for probably any position in any industry. You don't want somebody who's lazy, cutting corners to do, and that doesn't necessarily mean lazy if you're cutting corners, but somebody who's not putting in the time to get the job done well.
Now, how can you tell that?
You can't. It really boils back to trust.
Okay. And let's say, do you recommend for the smaller sites that they bring on fractional help like we offer, right? It's like low risk, more or
Well,
less.
again, back to my conversations with potential clients, I tell them a successful site, a successful client usually stays with us about 3 years, 2 to 3 years. Because while we don't teach you how to do the budget, you'll grasp enough that
You'll eventually learn.
you'll do a well enough job that you at worst case scenario, probably losing 20% of what you would get if we were doing it. And then after you do it a few times,
Yeah.
you'll even be closer to what we would get for you, probably 5 or 10%.
Okay. Now, what about when it comes to actual negotiating skills? What do you look for in a good negotiator?
Well, you can't be fearful, right?
And
Which,
define that, or define
well,
it in this context, I should say.
so, well, I could go way political with this, but I'm not going to. Many
It's okay,
people
man.
are,
It's after dark.
no, it's not. Many people are afraid to ask. You can't be afraid to ask, right?
So it can be timid.
Yeah, you can't be afraid to ask for something. You have to be aware of what you need and want, and then you have to ask for it. And a lot of people are not.
We know someone who does this very well. Her name is Judy Galindo.
Oh yeah.
When you said this, I thought of her right away.
Well, Judy really even surprised me. I think I told you the story
Yeah.
of because she had us negotiate her budgets for a while. She didn't like the fact that I wouldn't negotiate her contract, and I will do that a little. I just don't want to be responsible for contracts
Yeah.
because if I miss something, we're getting sued
It's different if you were her
potentially.
employee,
Yes.
like, and it's her responsibility, then you're okay doing it. If it's
Exactly.
outsourced to you, you're kind of liable for.
So now I don't want to cut our services short. I
Yeah.
know with sites, I tell them, listen, I'm not an attorney, so I don't want to advise you as an attorney, but I'll tell you if I take any concerns with your contract.
We got Cole Carney and Edie to help with
Sure,
that.
sure. So, and I tell them, I've read hundreds of contracts. I'll tell you if I see anything that's of concern to me. But to be honest with you, I'd prefer you just read it and ask me if you have any concerns or questions with the language, because you will see it if it's there and
And
it
for
bothers
those
you.
that are curious, I've broken down with Darshan over like three or four videos, hour long, going through a contract of ours, section by section. And we got through the whole thing in like a four video series, I think. But he has issues with like every line almost.
Sure, but he's an attorney and that's what he gets
Of
paid for.
course, of course. And he even said, because I brought this up, made a video, man, you are like, okay, I mean, that's kind of not important to me. And he's like, okay, and that's kind of my job. It's to tell you what I'm not okay with, but then it's your job to figure out what's important to you versus what's not, what's worth fighting for versus what's not for your particular situation. And then I said, yeah, indemnification is probably the number one. I don't want to piss off my PIs or burn a bridge. And then we get into like granular things, but he literally has issues with every single section.
And that was funny because that was my experience with Judy as well. She had, so I take issues with three things in the contract,
Well,
right?
they're a match made in heaven, then.
They are. I take issue with three things in the contract, right? What's the payment time frame, right?
Oh,
So
yes.
indemnification, as you pointed out. And then generally it's 50% of the
Screen
time it's in
fail.
the 50% of the time it's in the contract, screen fail rates. So those are the three things I look closely at in the contract. Whether I'm helping with the contract or not, I take a look at those three things and I let the client know, hey, you may want to consider having this language changed that says you'll get paid quarterly. A lot of clients want it monthly. It's up to you, right? I don't personally care for our own sites, whether it's quarterly or monthly.
Lately, I don't know if it's because you're negotiating them all, but they're all been monthly. Is that just because of you, or?
The industry switching, they're going more and more to monthly because everyone asks for it, or not
And
everyone,
you
but most
see,
everyone.
and I know that's a different. That's what I suspected, and I think this is another podcast, but the industry is shifting away from CRO control over everything, to and the CROs, it's in their best interest to do it quarterly, because it's easier for their quarterly earnings to control when they send out payments and when they don't for their own quarterly reports on Wall Street. Which now sponsors are like, well, we have the technology now to do it. Like a lot of sites are using digital stuff. It's easier to kind of figure out when to pay them. Why don't we just do it quarterly or monthly? I've had some sponsors, I won't name them, but the big ones pay multiple times a month. I've never seen that in my life.
I just saw a contract the other day that was bi-monthly.
Well, this one was monthly in my contract, but they
Sure.
happen to
But
pay
what I'm saying
early.
is in the contract it was we'll pay every 2 weeks. Unless bi-monthly,
Wow.
because bi-monthly is open to interpretation. It could be every other month too.
Oh, sure. Sure. No, we shit on a lot of aspects of this industry, but I think sponsors are really trying to do a better job of making life easier for sites.
Yeah.
I really see that. It's not always the outcome, but it is an attempt. And I think that's positive for our industry.
So, just closing off the Judy aspect of what we're discussing. Yeah, she really surprised me because most clients most people I work with, they don't want to lose a study. And she says she literally doesn't care. If she doesn't get what she wants, she's not taking the study. And it's like, which makes it really difficult to work with her, honestly, because I can't lose a study, right? If I lose a study for a client, it's problematic.
Yeah.
So,
So you're given parameters by the client and they
well,
usually tell you.
it's assumed parameters. I do let them know because with Judy, this happened. It's happened many times. With Judy, I said, listen, they're not going to agree to this. And she said, well, I don't want to do the study then. So I said, so you're okay with me losing the study for you by demanding this? And she's like, absolutely.
Well, we get to talk about Judy because, well, number one, she's one of our Save Our Sites co-founder. Looking for traits in someone. So would Judy be somebody that potentially didn't own a site that you would consider hiring to put in budget and contract negotiating for your site? Like that, tr those traits of
Her
this came from
personnel.
not being afraid, not being afraid.
So, okay. Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword. So, yes and no. I mean, she listens to directions. So, yes, I guess, yes. My only concern would be somebody who's overzealous could actually cost you studies, right?
But with enough market feedback, you think they would correct themselves?
Yes, but as a newer site, you don't want to lose two or three
Yeah,
studies to
you can't
get there.
afford that. With the
So,
proper training, though, like just specifically from the perspective of not being fearful of pushing back.
yes, that's very good. It's a matter of can you rein it in with the
Right.
understanding that we can't afford to lose a study.
So it's nuanced. Okay, so
Yep.
just trying to find more traits here.
So
So anything else?
I guess the best way to look at it is how I approach it is way I would want a site that cared about not losing any studies is the approach I would want to see, where I push as far as I can until I get to the point where I think there's a possibility we could lose the study if I push any further. And I let the client know, hey, there's a shot here. Doesn't happen usually, but I have had to save probably a half a dozen studies in which they said goodbye, right? We're done here. We're not going to use your site.
Now, when that happens, they do give you multiple warnings, right? They
No. No, no. So it's where you know you're at that point, and you know where they've said, listen, we've taken this to the sponsor. They've approved what they're going to approve, and you still push back on it, right? And at least a half a dozen times, they've said, okay, we're done here. We'll hopefully be able to work with you in the future.
Oh, so they don't even give you a chance to say, do you accept the previous
This is well,
dish?
most of the time they do, right?
Okay.
That's why I'm saying there's potential always to lose a study, right? Once you get to the point where they've basically said to you, this is the best we can do. And if you still push, yes, some sponsors will say, okay, we can give back, we can meet you somewhere in between, right? But occasionally they say, okay, we're done here.
Okay.
So it's really a thin line when you're going for the best budget you can get.
And you don't know that until you have enough experience to have been in those situations.
Yep.
Okay, so to continue on, if you were to have somebody shadow you for these things, we brought up already not being fearful, being trustworthy, being amenable to feedback, not being
Motivated
lazy,
to get you the best budget they can.
motivated. That's very important. What else?
Well, I mean, experience.
That comes with time, but okay.
Yeah,
So,
if you're gonna be a two-person site, right, let's just take the example of a new site. Yeah, one of you, the coordinator of the PI, will have to just go through the hoops and gain the experience. You're not going to get the greatest budgets initially.
do you have to be a number? This whole myth
I don't.
about numbers guy
Well,
or
so
gal.
one of our employees, I try to teach to do budgets, and she wasn't a numbers person. In terms of math, wasn't her strong suit, and it wasn't going to work.
So that's another important trait then.
Well, it depends on how good or how bad you are at math, right?
What's the threshold?
But you should be able to do fairly simple arithmetic, right? Like finding
Well,
percentages and
remember they banned AP math in this country in certain
yeah,
counties for
I
being
understand.
racist.
Yeah, I
Break that
understand.
down a little bit.
Well, you need to be able to do a simple algebraic formula. You need to be able to do find percentages.
Percentages to me is like critical.
Sure.
That's the most pragmatic aspect of math that I use on a daily basis is percentage.
Right. So if you can't do those things, you're probably not well suited to negotiate a budget, but you don't have to be a mathematician either, right? It's just
You're not looking for the theory of relativity
no.
here.
No, we're not going for E equals MC squared. You just have to be able to do some simple math, and I consider that very simple math, a simple
How
algebra.
do you assess that? Like, let's say you're interviewing, how would you bring that up? Give them a math test?
You could write three math problems. If they can't do them, you're not right
Would
for
you
this
do that
job.
if you were
Sure,
hiring a,
sure.
okay. If you suspected that they weren't, like throughout the interview, you got to kind of get a feel, okay, this person, they went to college, I know that major you do at least calculus, right? Or whatever. You kind of know. Goes back to the benefits of college diplomas, even though I think it's a giant scam, but there is some benefit still of like being able to quickly parse through curriculum and basic skills. So, but if you get a
Well,
suspicion they're not,
you can have a
that's
liberal arts degree and still can't do math, so.
right. That's different. That's why I said if you know the major well enough, you
Right.
kind of have a feel for it. But you're saying you would go as far as having a math test, a quick little math quiz.
Sure. Just a few simple questions.
Man, be prepared if Chris is going to interview you
They
guys.
wouldn't be hard questions. I would hope to God anybody who completed high school could do it, but you never know these days.
No, you never know. I'd catch someone when they're nervous. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, another, I don't know if it's a talent, but you should be able to work a Excel spreadsheet.
So that's where I fail. I can't. Do you think that's still important in the era of
Oh,
ChatGPT?
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, because they send you spreadsheets. How's
Oh, no, I
ChatGPT
can do
gonna?
that. I can do that. I can't create the template, but I can work with an existing template.
You do have to occasionally do that too. But it's
Yeah, I
not that
suck at
hard.
that. I
It's
suck
not
at that.
hard.
Putting those formulas in Excel and all that?
You don't have to use a formula. It just makes it easier. You don't have to use formulas though.
Yeah, see, I know I could learn it, but I've done it in the past, but I just prefer not to.
It's time consuming.
When the sponsor usually gives you a
The
program.
study I just did for Yuma,
Yeah.
I had to create a spreadsheet because they wouldn't give me one.
I
So
saw the thread, a little bit of it.
it took me like 3 hours to complete creation of that spreadsheet because of the way it was designed and how many freaking visits there were. It's just cumbersome. It's tedious and cumbersome, but it's usually not that bad. Usually you can create one in about an hour for
I
most
see.
studies.
I see. Now, are there other? So contracts and budgets sometimes bleeds over into operations where when you get into like invoicing things, right? Because that's technically an operation activity, but also it's contracts and budgets. It's really up to management who's going to do that. Creo makes it easy. Shout out to Creo that you can create and you don't have to know how to program. You can create auto invoicing with one button. When you create the source, you can build in the invoiceable costs. This makes it really easy. And it automatically keeps track of dry ice, for example. And
Nice.
you just program it in your e-source. Like if you know dry ice is $50 at each visit or whatever visit, you just put it in as a question to your coordinators in the source. Was dry ice used for this visit, yes or
Ah,
no?
nice.
If they put yes, it automatically populates
Sends the
my
invoice.
invoice. Doesn't send it,
Oh.
populates it on my end.
Okay.
So when I want to send an invoice, I go and I see like a running tally of everything that's already there. And then I can
Unsent,
confirm
basically
it.
unsent invoices.
Like a draft, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So like when I'm ready. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
So
that's
I had to
nice.
program that myself, right? Like I am that role at my site until you negotiate them, you basically negotiate them, and then I'll take over from there and do this kind of stuff like invoicing. What kind of person, I guess, if we're missing anything, is needed or traits needed for that? Besides attention to detail, which I don't know any job or skill that doesn't require attention to detail. That's
Well, I mean, there's less n need for it, right? At some jobs.
sure.
I mean, you could probably be a toll taker and have no attention to detail, really, other than be
I
able to
don't know. You're
count
not
change.
collecting many
Count
tolls then.
change.
I
Count
think that's
change.
just like shouldn't even be included in job descriptions. Like, which job do you want to hire someone where attention to detail is not needed? You know, it's like I can't really think of any.
Well, it truly is less important for jobs and more important for other jobs.
Right, like you can start assigning valence for it, sure, and that's fine, but it's you can argue it's needed for
But
everything.
it's way more important for this than I would say probably, I don't know if I could say that, but for than many jobs, right? To be, say, a coordinator.
Coordinator is different, but like the person that, because we've experimented with our own service of offering invoicing services for sites, and we actually are talking to someone. What's happened with that guy? Were we talking to someone that was gonna
He had to
quit
take
us?
the yes, he had to take the last week. Oh, that guy. I don't know what happened to him. I emailed him a while back and then I forgot about him. I don't think he responded, so I don't know. I have to
He
email
got
him
a
again.
job. He might have gotten hired. But anyways, he seemed like the right trait
He
for.
did. He did. I agree.
And what did he have that we haven't covered yet? Because I wanna, at the last 5 minutes, save it for non-experience and see where we can kind of raw ingredients we could work with. But what did he have that?
Well, he did have experience
Correct. What
working
did he
with
have that
budgets.
we haven't discussed yet, if anything?
Nothing comes to mind other than he just, I don't know. Yeah, sometimes you have to go with your gut feeling too, right?
Yeah.
They seem to meet the qualities you're looking for, but is there that something? Do you get that vibe? I don't know how else to explain it,
I know.
that they would be a good fit for what you're looking for.
I did the same video yesterday with Daniel for the patient recruitment virtue. And the vibe test comes up a lot in that.
Right. It's do they have the qualities you're looking for that you think are important for the position? And then just does it click for you as the person hiring them, the employer, that they will be good for this position, that this position is a good fit for them?
If you had to be precise in the context of contracts and budget, the vibe, what does that distill down to? Passes the vibe check.
For me, if they're really giddy, like energetic and bubbly, that's not a good vibe. You probably. If they're more docile and
More stoic.
more reserved, probably a little bit, but they can't be too reserved either, right?
Do we know someone bubbly that does good? I think Monica.
Yeah, she just seems to do a good job with her
Does she
budgets.
break that stereotype?
Yeah, and to be honest, I probably, if I were sitting on the other side of the table talking to her and she had no experience doing it, she wouldn't be somebody I would consider for the position. To
Okay.
be honest, just she would not click with the vibe I'm looking for the position.
So vibes are very personal and they are
Yeah, they're
essentially
subjective.
like memes. They're essentially like a abstraction of what you think will fit. And then there are innocent victims that
Certainly.
fall out of that vibe, like Monica would have been one, probably. Because your abstraction is not bubbly for this role. And she's like the opposite of that. I mean, if anything, that is how you describe her.
Absolutely. Completely agree. But the thing is if, say, her business failed, all businesses she's involved with failed and she went out looking for a job, that would negate it, right? Her experience and if she could
Now,
speak
because
on
now
it.
she
Yeah,
has
exactly.
experience.
Exactly. I'm saying if you're hiring someone from scratch.
From scratch. Okay. So we're on that part now. So hire someone from scratch. Your parameters personally are, and I think I would agree with you, not too bubbly. Doesn't mean you can't be, but can you get serious enough?
Exactly.
And it's hard to assess that in a 30-minute interview.
Exactly. It's just it's a vibe, it's a gut feeling.
And you know the vibe for patient recruitment is the exact opposite.
Yes, you want bubbly.
So yesterday I had an
You
intern
want
stop
somebody
by.
outgoing.
I had an intern stop
Com
by from
completely
here.
agree.
They wanted to volunteer. I was gonna think of putting them in patient recruitment. They did all the right things. I gave them a copy of the book. They emailed, they followed up, they came in, and then they came in and it was like crickets. I asked them because I finished up one of my rating skills and I was busy and I brought her in and it was me and Katie, the lead CRC. And then I asked her, like I gave her a chance, just open-ended stuff. open-ended question just to get a vibe check, and it didn't pass. It failed miserably. Just like very introverted, opaque as to her desires or ambitions. And I made a video of it yesterday in my podcast on patient recruitment. Like, there is this vibe you need to have, kind of, and most people have these abstractions for these roles in their heads, even though it's not explicitly stated. That's kind of the purpose of these podcasts, is to get under the hood of these mimetic.
And I don't disagree at all. Like when I used to patient re do patient recruitment, I would consciously, sometimes subconsciously, other times understand that I got to be a little bit more outgoing,
More
yeah,
chipper.
and smile and just
And
be.
you're a true generalist, though, but you started out with me,
Oh,
like you
Dan, I
famously said.
gotta take this call.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Go
Can
ahead. Mute yourself. I'll tell the story. Chris famously mentioned on Save Our Sites that
Hello?
his first job was from me. And if you watch the Save Our Sites panel, you will see the story. But basically, he moved to California during the Great Financial Crisis. He got promised a job by somebody unofficially. The week that Chris moved to California after he sold his house in Washington, that person that promised him a job, not in research, but in something else, essentially lost his job because it was the Great Financial Crisis. So we were having a site selection visit at my site in San Bernardino, and the site manager there at the time was telling me, because I never went to that site that often. So the site manager there was telling me, hey, I know we're going to need some help. There's this guy named Chris that's going to come. I was like, sure, the more bodies there, the better. So Chris was there, and that's where I met him. And then the site selection visit went well. And I was going to leave this decision up to Don of whether we're going to hire Chris or not. And then Chris kind of made a compelling statement to me that, he's a go-getter, more or less. But when I met Chris, I kind of had this vibe check as well, and I didn't know where to put him, but I figured he can do well as a coordinator at least, 'cause he seemed serious enough, not too rigid, 'cause he was willing to talk to me like in an unorthodox manner. And I
So,
didn't
are
never
you
knew.
telling this story you've told a dozen times?
Without getting into that many details, 'cause I don't want to bore the people that know it, but I was doing the vibe check too without knowing what I was doing back then. And you passed like at least a coordinator. I thought you had enough generalist, because I was hiring generalists back then. I still am. I never would have really thought you would get into budgets, but you did. Because compared to everyone else at the site, you were actually best one for that, which kind of made itself obvious. Did you request to do budgets there, or did you? Because it was supposed to be Don doing the budgets.
No, it was Don.
Did
I didn't
he?
re No, I didn't request. We parted ways and then I just took over, right?
Okay. And then I remember maybe asking you, like, are you comfortable doing it?
No, that wasn't your nature. Still,
So I
it's
probably
more so
already.
now. It's more so now. Back then, it wasn't your nature. It was like, hey, just handle it.
So I probably saw you, like, that abstraction that we talked about. I probably saw it in you enough by then to be okay with you doing that. Otherwise, I would have done it, but I just hated it so much that, I didn't do it. But I remember negotiating budgets a lot back in the day, too.
It's funny too, because that's an interesting aspect to this. I don't think anybody enjoys budgets. I just don't.
There's people on LinkedIn that say they do.
I don't believe them.
You think they're liars?
Yeah, I don't believe them.
Trustworthiness is a one number one criteria.
Yeah, if they're
Chris
saying that.
admits he doesn't like it, but he does it. You can trust him. He's
Well,
not lying.
it's not something that's likable to do. I just don't see how you can like. Well, let me take that
And
back.
you're a very numbers kind of guy.
I liked doing it initially. I didn't like it, right? So I guess if somebody likes it, they haven't done it long enough. So I guess you could be on LinkedIn telling the truth that you like doing it, but you're less experienced, would be my guess then.
What about someone who says budgets and contracts are my passion?
Yeah, they're full of shit.
This is why this podcast is my fave. All right.
So what?
So you don't think there's anyone out there that possibly loves, like, they're just
So,
passionate about it?
okay, so.
Some people are wired that way, man. And I would think you are too. And if you say you don't like it,
Well, the thing is, though, it's what do you, it's problematic, right? So, like, for example, I enjoy playing poker and it's very similar, actually. Negotiating a budget is very similar to playing poker, especially in the position I'm in terms of I can't for my own sights truly play poker, right? But for sites that I've been hired to get them the best budget but not lose the study, you can't really play poker there, right?
you can
Maybe
play
that.
poker for Yuma, more or less.
Exactly,
Unless I
exactly.
tell you, like, hey, this one we
Right.
can't. I
And
will go out of my way and tell you that no, not this one.
I've asked you, hey, is this one you really want, or is this a, I've asked a couple times. Usually I don't ask because I'm not looking to lose a budget for anyone. But there are situations in which you have to be willing to lose a budget, right? And it's about how do you go about trying to get the best budget without losing it, but understanding that you could lose it, right? It's just like bluffing at poker, right?
Oh, then
Is
some
this a
people are passionate
position?
about poker. Like,
Is this a position in which I think I can have success, but there is a potential that I can lose when you're bluffing? You have to make that analysis.
do you get the same dopamine rush
No.
in budgets as with poker?
No.
Why? Is it because it's you have to wait for an email response and
Yeah, it's
it's
not
not
instant.
natural?
It's A, it's not instant. B, I've just been doing this so long. I used to get some dopamine from it. I don't anymore.
That's a delayed dopamine response, though.
Yeah, but yes and no, because you read the email, it's like, oh wait, I got what I was going
I see,
for.
I see.
I just don't, that doesn't happen anymore. I've done
So
too
you
many
don't
of
enjoy
these.
that anymore, like,
No.
even that.
No.
Whereas in poker, you would still enjoy that.
Yes. I don't play poker anymore, and I haven't in years, but so I guess that could be a qualifier, right? Is this person a good poker player? That could be something that you could gauge on whether or not you think they might be good at budgets and contracts.
You think
I
that's
actually would
important
use that.
enough?
I would actually use that.
You
If
think it's
somebody told
important enough to,
no. That wouldn't be in my scale of questions. But if somebody voluntarily offered, hey, I like playing poker, and I would have a conversation with them to determine if I felt they were any good at it. And then
What
if
if they
they,
told you something like, I enjoy making, like, online bets, you know, like wagers?
that's a little different than poker, though.
Okay.
Just liking betting doesn't necessarily, it's a different perspective, right? Because it's not a one-on-one situation or human-to-human situation necessarily, whereas budgets and negotiating budgets are.
Gotcha. Okay. I think we did enough for this podcast. So
Well, you
thank
had
you.
one more topic, unless you already covered it.
Well, we covered it because it was the last 7 minutes here were really raw ingredients to look
Okay.
for, which we kind of covered.
Fair enough.
That was really the vibe check, more or less. Which
Someone
is,
who's
do you need a college degree?
just no, just to add my two cents on someone that you're going to take from grassroots to this is going to be my person, so long as I'm in business, say. For me, it would have to be somebody rational who isn't too emotional, right? That's where the bubbly comes in a little bit for me, because usually I equate bubbly with emotional.
Monica's good at separating that
Yeah,
from
and that's why
business to
she might
personal.
break the mold in that regard, break the rule, right?
Yeah, because
There's exceptions to all rules.
Monica is very bubbly and emotional, but she does not bring emotion to the workplace, which is very strange. I think she's just mature enough to where she learned how to separate those two things.
Yeah, I think that's a fair analysis.
I think so too. I think that's why I read philosophy, to try to articulate these things
Fair
better. It's helpful. It is helpful. It makes you
enough.
question how you think about things.
Fair enough.
All right, so that's it. I would tell you to go follow Chris, but he's not very active on social media. He's too busy doing budgets, and when he's not doing that, playing online poker.
No, I don't do that. It's illegal in California.
You gotta
I wish
get
it
out of there,
weren't.
man.
I wish it weren't. I would if it weren't
What a state to
occasionally.
be in. Like, subscribe, comment, share. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching.